So basically, we're going to start with some offerings. And before we start, for those of you who may not be aware who Gunagiri Das Goswami Maharaj was, he's one of our most advanced devotees who lived on the planet. And he recently left his body in Vrindavan. And so now we're doing this memorial service to remember him, to glorify him, to pay homages to him, and actually benefit ourselves from the process. It is said in Krishna consciousness that when we glorify a devotee, Krishna feels very happy and Krishna becomes very inclined towards us. And so Maharaj spent a lot of time in Dallas. This is one of the places that he started with the Krishna Fest program. And some of us have personal dealings with him, and so I'd like to speak about him. And as we do that, I want to read out a number of offerings from various persons who actually sort of wrote the offerings in. And I'll read the first one. Somebody can come and read the second one. And that way, the first one is a little shorter, the next one is a little longer. That's why I want to give the other one to somebody else to read. But, all right, so this offering is from our very nice devotee, Radha Vinod Prabhu, who sent this offering in, said, please, can you read this? So this is his offering. Dear Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. It gives me great happiness to be able to glorify you in this special occasion of your departure to the spiritual world. I am also very inspired by seeing how this glorification is happening in many temples around the world. My memories of you go to the late 80s and early 90s, when you, along with Mahatma Prabhu, used to visit Dallas with that old bus, really old, that you drove all over the U.S. preaching, doing programs and distributing books. Sometimes you would come home for breakfast and give us your kind association. And of course, I will never forget the times we used to go to Deep Elm with your electric Harinam set, with your electric Harinam setup that usually went from 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. in the morning. Then in the mid-90s, again, you were visiting Dallas, but now things were different. I was in charge of the local Sankirtan, and your program wasn't small as in the 80s. You had devotees, equipment, vehicles, and lots of needs. And you expected that I would fully collaborate with your program, which I did, but I had my limits. Your program ends where my starts, basically. Of course, you being a Ford soldier, your humility was expressed in a practiced manner, and inevitably, both being a little passionate, sparks were created. This event occurs a few times, but as always, everything was smoothed out in your special congas kirtans. And then came the 2000s. By then, you had gone to South America, and you had a great program going on there. But you still visited Dallas. But then, you had problems with your wrists and needed help with all your basic needs. And I had the good fortune to serve you. You were staying at Dhananjaya's apartment, and I would go every day and cook, clean, and do other things for you. I also used to drive you around to your doctor's appointments. All this gave me an opportunity to relish a sweet time with you, where the heart softened to the relationship. I had affection and respect for you, but what happened in the last stage of your life in this world makes my admiration and respect for you grow to a whole new level. You disclosed to everyone the battle that had troubled you for your entire devotional life. Bhishma was the cry from the skies when Devarata took a similar vow as you did to better serve the mission of your spiritual master. And you struggled all along, but you never stopped your services. Alone and wounded, you continued your service, bringing great results to the Vaishnava community. Finally, the Lord brought you to His land to relax in this lap, in His lap, and go back to Him. Surrounded by many devotees, both present and via the internet, you left us with a bitter sweet taste, immensely happy and sad at the same time. Maharaj, your life has many lessons for me to embrace, but the one that stands supreme is that no matter what difficulties we may have, if we continue with the preaching mission, there are no limits to the mercy and love we will receive from the Lord and our spiritual masters. Maharaj, now is the time to forget all of those confrontations we had and remember all the service I have done for you. Therefore, please bless this Radha Vinod that he may, like you, gain the mercy of his spiritual masters. Your humble servant, Radha Vinod Das. Jai Radha Vinod Prabhu ki jai. Gunagrahi Maharaj ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki jai. So I'll ask if some of you would like to. Do you have the mic that you might pass around? So basically what we're going to do is just pass the mic around and anybody who'd like to say anything can say. And one of you who would just like to read the next offering can let me know. And as we're speaking, I'll bring the thing to you and then you can read out of that offering.
Hare Krishna, Vanchakopa Dhruvish Chakri Prasindhu Bheva Chapatitanang Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Gunagrai Maharaj Ki Jai. I got inspired when the watching the YouTube live of Bibi Govinda Maharaj leading the kirtan for Gunagrai Maharaj, and then somebody sent me a link of an interview that one devotee, I think his name is, I think it starts with the M. Anyway, he was interviewing Gunagrai Maharaj about how he joined and everything. So back in the late 60s, there was a college in upstate New York. What was the name of the town? Buffalo. And many, many devotees were made there. Rupanuga Prabhu was like the commander-in-chief there, and they were making devotees like anything. So Gunagrai Maharaj was attracted to, he knew some of the persons before. He was friends with some of the people that became devotees before. Prahladananda, and I forget, there was one other one. And he, so he was, you know, started coming to take prasadam at the temple. And he didn't really, wasn't really attracted to the philosophy or anything, but he was attracted to the prasadam. And then he was in a band, so then gradually he got into kirtan. I'm just giving you the gist of his whole life story there. And then about a year or so later, a new bhakta came, this blonde-haired, long-haired person came, and it turned out it was a Yogyapati or Bibi Govinda Maharaj. So Gunagrai Maharaj took care of him and fed him prasadam and counseled him and spent all kinds of time with him, basically made him a devotee and nurtured his spiritual life. So Bibi Govinda Maharaj is very, very enthusiastic to be there and help and lead kirtan for Gunagrai Maharaj. He was the temple president in San Diego. I forget the years exactly. But he and whoever that they were with, they had a very strong desire to follow up and make devotees. Whoever was distributing books or they were doing festivals, he was really, really into trying to get their name, invite them to the temple, treat them very nicely, and really, really pay special attention to them. And they made many, many devotees there in San Diego and everywhere he went. So he was really trying to, over his life, improve that beautiful art of making new devotees, which they did, and he made lots and lots of devotees. When I met him, I guess it was here, maybe the first, I'm not sure when he first started coming here, it was a long time ago, like Radha Vinod was saying, with his bus. And we had heard about him over the years. He was the president of San Diego and everything. But he came here and always tried to inspire everybody to do more preaching. That was like his mode. He could see that we were here in this nice community, and he was always trying to get us to go after more and more, you know, preaching to the Western community and everybody in a nice way. So we had many discussions over the years about what to do, how to do it, and when I was in the restaurant and different other times. And he always had really great insight and ideas because he had so much experience cultivating people. He was very much filled with that kind of mercy, and everybody that I talked to, the young devotees that knew him, felt he treated them so specially and gave them so much affection and encouraged them in their spiritual lives. I don't know if Rupa is going to show up tonight, but he actually used to go and help babysit Rupa when Kunti was doing Sankirtan. He would take him with him shopping. He would feed him prasadam. He was always treating him really nice. When he brought the bus, he would bring Rupa up on the bus, and they would hang out, and he would feed him pizzas. You know how he was. Gunagra Maharaj was the pizza guru, and he had a lot of nice pizza parties, and all the kids got to go, and he was always really kind to all the young devotees, and to everybody. And but he was also very, like Radha Vinod said, he had some confrontations, because Maharaj was very, he was strict, but it was in regards to trying to improve everything to increase the preaching. So he was always absorbed in that preaching mode. And in a couple of years ago, when he first got sick, when he was in Houston, I got to meet him there, and he invited me to come take dinner with him, and he was cooking. I forget who was cooking for him, but he was helping cook also. He had some special diet, and actually, it was right before I think he got the cancer. He knew he had cancer. Anyway, so we got to sit and talk together, and same thing. We're always talking about preaching and what we're doing here in Dallas and how we can improve this and that. And so it was always, you know, he was always thinking like that. And then he, some years ago, they were working for years to buy a temple in Argentina. Collected for years to get this one building, and then they realized that the building was kind of small for their needs. So they found this big school, and one of his disciples, Mataji, she approached the lady who owned the school, and they'd been running the school for like 40 or 45 years, this one lady, and she decided she wanted to sell it. So then they were able to sell their other building and the price went up on it enough to where they could buy the school. But then the government gave the lady a hard time, so she had to re-rent the school for a couple of years. Finally, the devotees moved in, and they have a whole institute there, a restaurant, all these different yoga institutes. They have all these beautiful facilities there because it's such a big place. And after about a couple of years, the devotees were able to stand up on their feet, and Maharaj didn't have to send them and collect money for them. And he trained this one devotee up named Mahahari and spent a lot of time training him to take care of the devotees. So he's a great leader, and he's there taking care of everybody. And and one thing I just wanted to add for all of us old-timers here that have been around in Dallas for a while. We remember Kelly before she was initiated. She became Gandharvika. She was the one that taught, if anybody wants to know how where that cinnamon raisin bread recipe in the restaurant came from, it came from Kelly. We used to always go, she was like the most wonderful baker. And we used to always, you know, harass her, and she gladly would bake for everybody, you know, feed everybody her wonderful cooking. She just passed away about a year and a half ago of cancer. I just found that out. I didn't know she had passed away. I've been trying to get a hold of her. And then I heard that her husband, when he was speaking about Gunagra Maharaj, he mentioned that, because she was always Gunagra Maharaj's like secretary. She was like the force, the person who was organizing and keeping everything together there. And she just passed away in May last year of cancer. Anyway, Gandhari Kamataji Ki Jai, Vinagrai Maharaj Ki Jai. And we always loved his kirtan, his bongos. And then he would bring Ajamil here and have nice kirtans during the festivals. And he was always in the kirtan. So he left in a big, uproarious kirtan. So Krishna fulfilled his desire. And it's amazing how he actually got to go live in Vrindavan and leave in Vrindavan. That's very rare. Not that many of us, or not many people in the past, have actually been able to go and live in Vrindavan and leave in Vrindavan. It's a very auspicious Krishna and Prabhupada. We're very pleased with his preaching. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
So, before I speak about His Holiness Gunagrai Maharaj, I asked Nityananda Prabhu, and he said it would be okay. I just wanted to give everyone an update on Kardama Muni Prabhu. He came home from the hospital yesterday, and he's decided that he doesn't want to go forward with any chemotherapy treatments. He's just too weak, and he's now being taken care of by hospice. And as far as devotees going to see him, I talked to him today, and he said to give him a couple of days, let him get settled in, and then we can work up a schedule where maybe devotees can go and speak, you know, read to him and chant with him. He has a few months ago he had been had a kidney removed for kidney cancer, and then he just found out maybe just several weeks ago that it's now spread all over his body. So he's just decided that he just doesn't want to go forward with this treatment. So if everyone would just be patient, and he said to thank all the devotees so much for asking about him, but just give him a couple of days, and then we can go and start to get his association and give him association. So when I think of His Holiness Gunagrai Maharaj, I think of three things. I think of kirtan, I think of all the different kinds of drums, and I think of pizza. And so he was definitely a kirtanier. He loved kirtan, just like Radhavinoda Prabhu was saying. He would go to Deep Ellum and he would just go on and on for hours with kirtan. And every time you'd see him, he'd have a different kind of drum, some far out drum that he had. And just like we have the 10 offenses to the holy name, he had the 10 offenses to pizza. And I know the first one, I don't know all of them, but the first one was that if you're making pizza and you tell someone that you're making pizza, you have to give them a piece of that pizza. Otherwise, that's a pizza apparat. So he has 10 of those. And I think Mother Megarupa has that list if somebody wants to know all the rest of them. And His Holiness Gunagrai Maharaj was probably one of the best preachers we have in our whole movement. He made so many devotees. He was such a nice person. He just, when you're around him, he just made you feel comfortable. He's a sannyasi, but at the same time, you just felt comfortable being around him. And he was always kirtan, always preaching. And I just thank him that I was able to get some of his association. Also, my son, Janardhan, he got to travel with Gunagrai Maharaj for a while. And he was telling me a story. He said that he was in the van with Maharaj one time, and they were driving, and a wasp landed on Maharaj's shoulder. And Janardhan reached over and grabbed the wasp and threw it out the window. And so Gunagrai Maharaj said, was that a wasp? And he said, yeah. And he said, did you grab it? He said, yeah. He said, did it sting you? And Janardhan said, yeah. He said, now that's devotional service. So he would always ask about Janardhan, always was concerned about him, and just an amazing, amazing personality, and we're going to miss him so much. But again, I thank him so much for letting me have some of his association. His whole name is Gunagrai Maharaj Ki Jai.
All glories to Gunagrai Maharaj. Panchakalpa Dhru Vishya Kripa Sindhu Bheva Chapati Tanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namo. Well, Maternath about covered everything that I was going to say. He did love his pizza. And coming from an Italian family, he knew the best recipes. He knew the best sauces, just how to simmer them, how long, what to put in them. He made some of the best pizza I have ever tasted in my life. And that's no joke. And I've eaten a lot of pizza coming from an Italian family. But the things that stick out in my mind about Gunagrai Maharaj is his compassion, his charisma, his love for kirtan, and his love for my spiritual master, Tamal Krishna Goswami. He stuck with Srila Gurudev through thick and thin. And I remember one time I was up in Srila Gurudev's quarters when Gunagrai Maharaj was there. And at the time, Gurudev was going through a little ups and downs with some of the temple management throughout the world. And they were kind of like sending him to China and this. Anyway, I don't want to get into all of that, but he told Gunagrai Maharaj, he says, "You stick with me and your life will be successful." And Gunagrai Maharaj did just that. He stayed with Tamal Krishna Goswami through all the ups and downs of the Dallas Yatra throughout the years. He was very staunch, stalwart devotee and very, very attached to Tamal Krishna Goswami. And that's what really drew me to Gunagrai Maharaj, besides his pizza. But his kirtan, you would just melt. The endless nights that we spent in Deep Ellum, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, you know, way later than that a lot of times, he had an insatiable taste for kirtan, bhajan. And drums, yeah, he was a great drummer. The ones that really stuck out in my mind a lot was when Mahatma Prabhu was traveling with him a lot. And when those two got together for kirtan, Sankirtan, it was just, you couldn't get away from it. It was actually addicting. You did not want to leave the presence of either one of them, especially when they were both in that groove. He would get into a groove, and it was like a train that just couldn't slow down. I had so many memories with and pastimes with Gunagrai Maharaj. I could sit here and talk about him all night long for many days, I think. But he's going to be missed. He was definitely a backbone here in Dallas for many, many, many years, throughout his whole life, I guess, his whole devotional life. And we all appreciated him because he was just, like the turnout said, he was just that type of person that you loved to be around. You wanted to be around with, you know, there's going to cry much. Come on, let's go hang out, you know. He'll give us some nectar, and he always did, you know. And one of the most memorable things that I have in my mind, and I'll end it with this, is I remember that old Ricky, the bus. It was always falling apart or getting broken down. And one time he came up to me, and he says, "Hey, Arjun," he says, "my mother gave me a ring, and it's not a very expensive ring, but it's something that I had for many, many years, and my mother gave it back to me. And I wanted to give it to you." I says, "Okay, what's the catch, Maharaj?" He says, "I need a donation." I says, "For what?" He says, "My bus is broke down." I says, "Okay, no problem, Maharaj." So he gave me the ring, and I still have it. I put it on my altar the other day in remembrance of him, and I gave him a pretty nice donation. I always tried to give Maharaj whatever I had. I'm not a rich householder, but I always gave Maharaj donations. And he always, you know, he always appreciated it. But he'll be missed. You know, sorry that he's not here anymore to physically give us his association. But on the second hand, he's with Srila Prabhupada. He's serving Srila Prabhupada. He's with his god brothers. He's with Gurudev and with some of his disciples. And that's what makes me happy. So all glories to Srila Gunagarai Maharaj Ki Jai.
Before you speak, Dharma, I'm just going to read this out. This is from Devaprasad Jai. Yuraj Maharaj Ki Jai. Somebody might bring this chair over on this side here so Maharaj can sit. Maybe that location there is right there. All right, so this is actually an offering from Devaprastha Prabhu. He actually had to go to pick up Keshubhati Goswami Maharaj from Houston. He's bringing him to Dallas. So he couldn't be at this program because he's actually en route right now as we speak. So he made an offering celebrating a glorious life and glorious departure. My dearest Gunagrahi Goswami Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. All glories to His, to all of His faithful followers. Maharaj, I am so sorry that I cannot be personally present at this wonderful event of celebrating your glorious life and glorious departure. Fortunately and unfortunately, I have been called out of town for service. Maybe just as well, because I feel so much separation from you, I probably wouldn't be able to keep it together enough to make it through my offering. Not that I'm embarrassed to cry in front of my family, but I wouldn't get very far in properly expressing to you what I feel. Your leaving has affected me deeply. The way it feels, particularly as much as Srila Gurudev's sudden departure 16 plus years ago, and your departure, we saw coming. You have kindly blessed me with your merciful association since the beginning of my devotional life and through all the 30 years following. In 1987, you came to Dallas and you found two brahmacharis loitering in the ashram, our dear Vidagdha Madhava and myself. You asked, "Don't you guys have a program?" We were inexperienced, and there was little structure to our preaching efforts at that time, beyond following strict sadhana program and going out here and there. You immediately said, "You're coming with me." And off to New York we went and spent 3 blissful months at Radha Govinda Temple with you, going out daily with a book table in Manhattan, selling books, incense, and cassette tapes. And we went out regularly on Harinam. The morning programs were so dynamic, with you leading the charge with the kirtans. You introduced us to the fine art of honoring pizza prasadam. In fact, you were known as the pizza acharya, something you probably had to pay for with your health later in life. But we loved fulfilling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order to fill up the neck with prasadam. We were young men then and really could put it all away. I also experienced my first real Indian program with you. A nice Gujarati family in Queens had invited the devotees, and there were many guests. After a rip-roaring kirtan and talk, you pulled me aside and said, "Pay attention during prasadam. Watch the ladies when they serve, and make sure you put your hands over our plates when you have eaten enough. If you don't, you'll end up with a full plate at the end of the meal." And sure enough, so many preparations were served out with great love, and Matajis kept coming and wouldn't take no for an answer. Vidagdha and I had to practically lean over our plates with our elbows to stop the prasadam from coming. So blissful. In 1989, I served in San Diego for some time, and you were there with so many other wonderful devotees. Mukunda Maharaj, Mahatma Prabhu, Dhanavir Goswami, Sadaputa Prabhu, Dhritakarma Prabhu, Badri Narayana, then Prabhu, to name a few of the wonderful devotees in the San Diego Yatra at that time. So glad I got to be there. Wonderful morning programs, especially Srimad Bhagavatam classes. You preached there for many years, and I experienced the wonderful mood you helped to create. You are a great organizer of preaching programs, and that attracted so many devotees. You are a bold preacher, a pioneer, ready to go out and bring mercy to the masses. Your Krishna Fest program started in San Diego and became a powerful preaching format, which engaged many devotees and reached so many souls from the West Coast to the East Coast. from Washington, D.C. to Dallas' Deep Elm. I still regularly play the Krishna Fest album, quote, "The Magic is the Chanting," close quote, which you produced with Dhanavir Maharaj and Mahatma Prabhu. It's a classic in contemporary music. Sorry, it is a classic in contemporary Kirtan sound with you on the drum machine. Quite some riffs. I don't know the extent of all your preaching travels, but I know you pioneered in Korea, Croatia, Bosnia, and so many other places. And you made a significant contribution in Argentina and Uruguay in your later years. I only got a glimpse of your preaching effort and can't speak to do it justice, but I'm sure devotees all over the world are singing similar glories with many different details, thus expanding the picture of your preaching influence. You were very personal with me and always inquired as to my welfare. Some 20 years ago, I went through a serious spiritual crisis, having let doubts grow and fester in my heart. Because I was in Maya, I felt intimidated and couldn't make myself go to Srila Gurudev to get clarification. And then he suddenly left. When I confided in you, you told me so affectionately, quote, "You should have come to us. That's why we, your god uncles, are here. If you can't go to your guru, then you should come to us," close quotes. I always had some inclination to serve Srila Gurudev's god brothers, but that statement really went deep in my heart. And looking back, it saved my spiritual life. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Our good fortune really came in 2011 when you came to Dallas and told me, quote, "Devaprastha, I'm tired. I'm 65 and I feel worn out. I need a place to rest and recuperate," close quotes. I was so happy to offer you our home, and you made that your official Texas residence until you left for Vrindavan. We were able to get you set up for medical care and somehow help the Argentinian mission with monthly support. Thank you for engaging us in that way. Having you in the house was really wonderful. You told me once that you were born on the same day as Srila Gurudeva. Maybe you were off a few days. It puts in quotes. In any case, that was so nice to hear, because I did see some similarities between you and him. I know he really loved and appreciated you. In this way, I felt connected to Gurudev by serving you. Like him, you could be pretty particular. You were so affectionate, but at times also forceful and even heavy. Fortunately, all in a toned-down version compared to Srila Gurudeva. So it was easier to take for longer periods of time. Although after some years, having a sannyasi in the house did become a little too much for my wife. And without having to ask or do anything, Kalachanji arranged for Bhakta Jack, who lived around the corner, to open his home to you. You admitted that was better for everyone. Lucky Jack. Of course, what made you so attractive was your taste for kirtan. Being a musician, you knew how to arrange kirtans so that they would be melodiously impactful. Although you were an expert drummer, I always appreciated that you kept your mridanga playing simple to support the kirtan and concentration on the holy name. And of course, we'll never forget all those programs with Ajamil Prabhu. What a combination! Bengali ecstatic melodies with you on the congas. Ajamil Prabhu is a wonderful kirtanier and also quite a character. So funny and joyful. You knew just how to keep him in check. When he would get carried away while singing and carry on Bengali style in the upper registers, almost losing the mantra, you would tell him to cool it and get us back in the Hare Krishna mantra vibration. The dynamics of those kirtans were out of this world. I always knew and had experienced it before, but in those kirtans I had strong realizations of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's saying that, quote, "The safest place for the mind is in kirtan," close quotes. And the combination of Ajahn Mill's singing, his harmonium playing, and you on the congas was irresistible, inevitably leading to dancing and abandon by all present, forming trains and circling through whoever's house we were having the program. What a bliss. I will so much miss the sound of the bell tree and those congas. Maharaja, I vividly remember that solemn day in 2016 when you said goodbye to all the devotees in Dallas. I knew then that I wouldn't see you again, at least in this lifetime. Sad and sweet at the same time. You had your struggles, but you faced all these head on with full faith in Srila Prabhupada and the Holy Name. Your departure from this world was glorious, with many loving devotees around you. Bibi Govinda Maharaj leading such a powerful kirtan, Radhanath Maharaj and Ritadvaja Maharaj at your side. From what I could see, you gloriously passed the final test. I am praying you will kindly look upon your fallen devotee and continue to inspire me to also come to that level of Krishna consciousness. Maharaja, thank you for everything. I am forever indebted. I love you and will miss you dearly. Your servant, Devaprastha Das. His Holiness Gunagrahi Maharaja Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna. His Holiness Gunagrahi Maharaja Ki. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shmati Gunagrahi Maharaja Swami Nitya Namani. I was very fortunate. I had some personal time with Maharaj in Dallas. Got to know him. Would see him often at Rath Yatras or in India when I was traveling. Got to see him in Mayapur. And Chaitanya Chandraprabhu and I were actually in Mayapur. It was for the Panchatattva installation. And they had put us in it was actually an old school. It was a thatched roof kind of a building. It was the old, old Gurukul. And we had a concrete floor, and I think we had a fan and some brahmacharis in there with us. And so we told Maharaj, you know, he said, where were you staying? And so we told him, and he said, oh, you should stay with me. You know, he was in Vamsivata, and we said, wow, thanks, Maharaj. He goes, well, you know, though, I get up pretty early in the morning. I chant really early, you know, and it probably wouldn't be the best thing, but that's the way he was. He was very generous and loving, and he never failed to He was guru and he was a sannyasi, but he was so friendly. He would, as soon as he saw you, he was so glad to see you, and he would lovingly talk to you and say, hey, you know, let's try to do this, let's try to do that. And it was amazing. Only now can I appreciate it properly, hearing the devotees speak about him. And because at the time I didn't appreciate it, and I had difficulties surrendering to Maharaj, and the pure devotee, like he was, the devotee like holds up a mirror for us sometimes, and so we can see how it is we really are by how we have interacted with devotees. And I didn't know what I was going to say today, because I just feel like I'm a total failure in how I interacted with him. I mean, I tried to serve him. I took him to buy a drum one time, and we went to Guitar Center, and they had drums, and he looked at a lot of drums, but he didn't like any of them. And he was going to be in Dallas for a while, and then actually he was going to Houston, and he said, well, you know, I think I'm going to wait. There's another place in Houston I want to look, but I did try. We went and spent that time together, and he stayed in my house at least once or twice, and he told me that in his youth he had been a very good card player. He was a very good card player, and I thought that, you know, that was like his character. He was so intelligent, And his kirtans were incredible. When he, like the Prabhus have already said, he would arrange to have the drumming, to have the kartals, to have the devotees. And does anybody remember the bell tree? The little zing? That was so nice when he brought that. And it added so much to the kirtan. It was so beautiful. And again, I wasn't able to understand him, who he was and what he was doing. Only now that I have a dearth of that kind of association, now I really appreciate it. He was always on for kirtan. He was always on for prasadam. Nice prasadam, well prepared, and especially pizza. But my wife made a really nice pie for him one time. And he said, wow, you know, I was honoring that pie and thinking how nice. And it had a graham cracker crust. And he goes, and I was thinking about how long it must have taken her to make that crust. And he goes, was it a homemade crust? I said, no, Maharaj. He goes, I could tell. And so he didn't get upset. He wasn't angry. He was letting me know he would have preferred a homemade graham cracker crust. But he was still grateful for what we were able to offer him. And he didn't take away from that. And so I hope that Maharaj will forgive me for my offenses and that he will remember me fondly as someone who tried to serve him and tried to surrender but was mostly a complete failure. And that I so much appreciate his example of his surrender to Srila Prabhupada. His life was for the devotees and for Prabhupada and for the movement and for the holy name. And despite all the things that happened, all of the difficulties he encountered in his life in Argentina, in preaching, and does everybody know he was part of the kirtan or the Harinam that was attacked in Eastern Europe? I think he was part of that, wasn't he? He was the devotees were doing kirtan and some thugs came out and started to beat up the devotees. And so what a great general, what a great leader of the Sankirtan army he was. His example was always divine, and he never stopped. Despite the difficulties that Krishna's going to throw at us, he was always Srila Prabhupada's man. You know, there was no politics. There was no, like, talking bad about some other guru or you should do this or do that. There's nothing like it. He was always in ISKCON. He was always Srila Prabhupada's man. And so thank you, Maharaj, for your example. Thank you for the association you gave me. His Holiness Gunagrai Maharaj Swami Ki.
Hare Krishna. I first met Gunagrai Maharaj, I believe, in San Diego in the early 90s, and that was a wonderful time to be in San Diego. There were so many wonderful devotees there. The BTG was there, the ISKCON World Review, Mukunda Maharaj, Sadaputa, and all the science team, and Umapati Maharaj, and so it was really wonderful to be there, and Gunagrai Maharaj was there as well, and it was always inspiring to have his association. I remember he would come to Mangal Artik every single day. He never missed Mangal Artik, and he would bring his large wampers, and we'd have a nice kirtan. So he was always engaging in kirtan. Like everyone else said, he was a Sankirtan devotee. Sometimes we say Sankirtan devotee. We mean someone that distributes books. But he was a Sankirtan devotee, always going out doing congregational chanting. So even in San Diego, we'd have kirtans at the park, Balboa Park. That was really, really wonderful. Bhajan Narayan Prabhu was there, he's Maharaj now, he was there also. And at one point he had a motorhome. He was traveling in a motorhome with one devotee named Pavamana. was with him, and they were traveling everywhere doing programs. And then he got a bus, got a nice big bus, and at the time, he just approached me and he asked me for a loan. He said, can you give me a loan to help buy the bus? And I wasn't really in a position to donate anything. I guess at this point I realized I should have just donated something, whatever I had, but I gave him a loan at least, and he did pay me back. We had a schedule. Every month he was giving me payments, so he paid me back for the loan. And then, then after that, he was also doing, I think he's the one that coined the term Krishna Fest. I had never heard that term before, and he started those wonderful kirtans in Washington, D.C. that everybody loved so much. And everywhere he went, he was just doing kirtan. And he brought us that, like someone else mentioned, that wonderful devotee, Ajamil. He was traveling with Ajamil, and the kirtans were just so, so wonderful. I just saw a video clip of Ajamil in Ukraine. He had some really, really wonderful kirtans there. So, see if there's anything else. Yeah, so he was like, he was just a perfect sannyasi, just traveling and preaching everywhere. That was what he did, just traveled and preached, just doing kirtan everywhere. So I would like to read the offering he wrote for this year's Vyasa Puja book. It's a really wonderful offering, and it really, you can really see his mood that he had and what his thinking was before he left his body as well. So I'd like to read that offering. Dear Most Srila Prabhupada, please accept my prostrated obeisances in the dust of your lotus feet. On this most auspicious day of your Vyasa Puja, I would like to share with you that during this challenging period of my life, which is filled with the difficulties of advanced cancer, what is most important to me are your wonderful self and your gifts. And first among those glorious gifts is the divine kirtan of the holy name. My first taste of that divine name, which came at a Sunday feast kirtan in Buffalo, New York, in 1969, impacted me in a way that I had never felt before. It gave me newfound faith in your Lord Krishna, along with faith in the knowledge you were imparting. It forever changed the direction of my life and established you as the captain of my ship and my lowly self as the sweeper of its deck. During those early years, my faith and enthusiasm for kirtan kept increasing the more I heard you and saw your ecstatic smile and transcendental energy, such as when you leaped into the air in ecstasy at those memorable Rath Yatra kirtans in San Francisco and New York in the 1970s, and as you chanted and danced enthusiastically in your temples and in Harinams, undeterred by your aging body and failing health. In these and many other ways, you never stop showing through your example and instructions that holding kirtan, both amongst ourselves and for the general public, is our true life and soul. Since that very special moment at the Sunday feast in 1969, when Krishna became real to me, you have led me on a most wonderful adventure that never seems to end. As the years have passed, I have taken part in thousands of joyous kirtans filled with the happiness of chanting congregationally. I have experienced the miracle of Krishna's holy names working magic on me and many others, making devotees out of sinners eradicating interpersonal problems, inspiring bonding amongst individuals, and even making friends out of enemies. Along with some devotees who are caring for me, I've now been in Vrindavan, a most special land that I have been given access to by your mercy alone for over 2 years. Each night we welcome guests to our Vrindavan Kirtan Sangha, which by Krishna's grace has become a well-known event internationally, and also the very highlight of my life. In fact, it has given me life, thanks to your divine grace. I never cease to be amazed by the variety of our guests, the excitement we all feel, the joy and affection among us, and my feeling and mood after having taken shelter of the devotees and the kirtan, even after I may have first felt too much discomfort even to leave my bed to enter the adjoining room to attend the kirtan. In fact, many days I feel so inspired by the kirtan that after getting help to get dressed, I then walk unassisted to the kirtan and dive in. And by the time the kirtan ends and the loving interactions have come to a close, my pains and woes miraculously seem hardly worth paying attention to. What a marvelous natural pain medicine, and what a benediction to have been given that medicine, the holy names, by your divine grace. Among your many gifts resulting from our kirtans, Srila Prabhupada, one that I feel very special is that young blossoming devotees who I just met or who I know or I knew during their infancy, childhood, or youth, and who have grown up under your shelter have been coming to our Sangha, playing instruments and leading the most inspiring kirtans, having been inspired in their own homes and yatras. The association of these young devotees is wonderful, and for me to connect with them while we chant and then to bond with them more intimately after kirtan are experiences I will always cherish, and the friendships continue. And lastly, I find it of ultimate significance and certainly remarkable that you have shown by the success of your glorious worldwide movement that due to your dedication, purity, and unalloyed surrender, you have achieved your cherished goal of fulfilling the prediction of Lord Chaitanya and the desire of the Guru Parampara that the holy name of the Lord would be heard in every town and village of the world. I feel truly blessed and fortunate to be taking part. Kirtan is filling the hearts of your devotees and bringing together people of all classes, nationalities, and ages who enthusiastically chant and dance together as they gradually break free of all bodily distinctions. Your gift truly offers us all that taste of the nectar we always sought but have never been able to identify until you found us and rescued us. In our kirtan room is a large, beautiful painting of your divine grace done by a dear friend. In it you are smiling in great happiness and showering your infinite mercy on us all. I so badly need that mercy and the sublime shelter of the name, especially during this most challenging time. So, Srila Prabhupada, I thank you and thank you again and again. Wherever I am, I pray that your divine self and your simple truth, just chant Hare Krishna, will remain forever foremost in my heart. Praying to remain your humble servant always, Gunagrahi Das Goswami. Jai Srila Gunagrahi Das Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna, all glories to Gundagrai Maharaj. So I was just remembering all the San Diego pastimes also, with all the glorious devotees that were there, and how it was a window in time that was very, very magical, very spiritually surcharged with so many exalted devotees that were there. And Gunagari Maharaj was in the forefront. We'd have ecstatic programs at Balboa Park. And Gandharvika was a very dear friend of mine. She was Bhaktine Kelly at the time, empowered woman. She became the temple president in San Diego and served Gunagari Maharaj with great faith and devotion for many years, helped organize so many aspects of his preaching mission. And so when we were in India in 2016, we were on a parikram with many Argentine devotees who were very, very close with Gunagari Maharaj because of his preaching there. And many of them were his disciples. And so we had many exchanges about Gunagari Maharaj together during this parikram time. And then they were headed down. At that time, he was down in South India, in Bangalore, trying to get treatment. And so they asked, please, would you like to send a video to him? So Kartikeya and I, my good husband, we sent a beautiful greetings to him, and he was always so warm and affectionate and so appreciative of whatever little things you did. He was ecstatic. I mean, the kirtans in Balboa Park were ecstatic, and the kirtans here in Deep Elm with Mahatma were totally ecstatic. But anyway, just this wonderful video that we sent him, he gave us such a beautiful and warm regards and well wishes. I also remember being in L.A. We lived in California for some time, and being at our godbrother Balaram's house for days, Gunagari Maharaj would come and we'd make pizza prasadam for him over and over, all different kinds. So these are just a few of the memories I remember about him. Just a glorious, warm, although he was a sannyasi, he was so affectionate and ecstatic kirtans, those drums, just beautiful. So Hare Krishna, all glories to Gunagari Maharaj.
Srila Gunagrahi Maharaj ki jai. Obviously Chakri, Nandini, myself, we were in San Diego in those days. Devaprastha was there too. I got memories of all everything that everybody has mentioned, the kirtans, the pizza. I remember seeing him sitting on top of the bus and doing the kirtans. He was on the roof of the bus playing his drums incessantly. Then we spent time with him here in Dallas as well. When we were in Denver, he used to come to Boulder, and we will be spending time in Boulder with him. That's the first time I saw the bell, the tower bell. It was so wonderful. And, associated with him in India, Argentina, and in Puerto Rico as well. I was able, he gave me the opportunity to serve him. Those days he was raising money to buy this temple that Chaitanya Chandra was talking about in Argentina. And so he was doing different things, books all over the place. And I had a business in Puerto Rico where the devotees that were involved in the business working, they were making good money. And so he heard about it, and so he asked me if I can engage some of his disciples on that. So they could raise funds for the Argentina temple. And we did that. We had a couple that came and stayed in our home while they were working. And it's, and one thing that was really funny, well, not funny, but the fact that Maharaj never got involved in politics. Somebody said it. Nobody, he never ever spoke bad or anyone. I remember there was a situation in Puerto Rico, kind of a difficult situation, political situation that happened in the temple. And so we discussed it with him, and we were putting our hearts out to Maharaj on that, and he just went, look, Prabhu, you just got to chuck it to a bad night, Krishna conscious nightmare. You know, just, it just took all the heaviness out of it, and just chuck it to a Krishna conscious nightmare. And then in Argentina, I met him, and I happened to be there. I was in Argentina at that time because my mother was leaving her body, and the Gunagarari Maharaj was there, and so there was Ratha Yatra, and I said, well, you know, I don't know, my mother is just could leave at any time, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to make the Ratha Yatra. And he says, no, on the contrary, you have to come, you have to come. And so as Krishna arranges everything, the Ratha Yatra parade went right by the hospital where my mother was, and then ended up in this square. It's called in Palermo. And you know, when I got there, Gunagurari Maharaj got so, you know, so happy to see me, and so you did the right thing. And I remember praying to Lord Jagannath, and I said, Lord Jagannath, why don't you take her? You know, what is it? And that evening, my mother left her body. And I had this connection between Gunagurari Maharaj, the Ratha Yatra, Lord Jagannath, then walking right by the hospital where she was, and I just attribute all this to the mercy of Gunagarahi Maharaj. When I remember of Srila Gunagarahi Maharaj, all I see is this big smile coming towards me. I think he was always smiling. And he wasn't smiling at the time. The minute he saw you, he started to smile. It was contagious. You couldn't help it but smile back. So also, during some of the difficult times that he was going through, him and I corresponded very intimately. He was in Vrindavan already. And I think we sent him that video, and then I wrote him this letter, and his response was so personal, close, wonderful, full of gratitude. I don't know why. And at the end he said, yeah, this is the love that the Latin American devotees always bring forth towards me. So, I love you, Maharaj. Please tell Srila Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada and Krishna about me. And Hare Krishna and all glories to your magnificent service. Gurudev Maharaj Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I was fortunate enough to see the beautiful kirtans of the devotees had in Vrindavan when Maharaj was leaving his body. And preparing to go back to the spiritual world. I did not have much association with His Holiness Gunagarahi Swami. I remember once, though, that I'd baked a whole bunch of cookies for Virabhahu Prabhu and some devotees, and somehow or other, His Holiness Gunagarahi Maharaj stole all the cookies and ate them. And then he apologized for that, and I said, no, it's Krishna's mercy. I've never done any service, but now I got to bake you some cookies. His preaching is phenomenal. He's made so many devotees. He's so enthusiastic, so pure-hearted, so so dynamic and so attached to Srila Prabhupada, always serving him faithfully for so long. And I'm just so grateful to such great souls who took personal initiation from Srila Prabhupada and carried out his mission with such grace and elegance and purity. Thank you. All glories to His Holiness Ganagrahi Swami.
Hare Krishna. Ganagrahi Maharaj and I spent quite a bit of time when he was here last on a CD. And somehow he approached me and he said, you know, I have this recording with Ajimal Prabhu that was recorded with just one small recorder. You know, he just had it there by the harmonium. This was in Varshana. And we listened to it and I was like, there's not much I can do with this. It's just, you know, it's a, not a quality recording. I can't really, the instruments I can't really hear and this and that. And he said, I think we can do something. So I was, all right, I'll try. You know, Maharaj is asking, I can't just say no. But okay, we'll give it a shot. And so he started coming over to my house. Somehow, I work from home, so I have a little bit of a flexible schedule. And somehow he would come around 11 o'clock. We'd do a little prep work. And then we'd have some lunch. And then he'd stay until about 6 o'clock. And we did this every day for about, I'd say, over a month. Almost every day, some weeks more, some weeks less. And what started out as something very simple, we basically redid everything. He, you know, parts where Ajimal Prabhu would get a little esoteric, he'd say, well, let's take this part out and take this part from over here and put it there. I'm like, well, the things don't match up. And somehow we'd figure out a way to get it to work. And, you know, this we just redid the whole thing to be exactly how he wanted. And he said, okay, now we need to get the devotees. We need a better, you know, we need to hear a better audience soundtrack. Again, just as the original recording was just sitting on the harmonium. So we got all the devotees in Dallas together and recorded them singing back up to the track, or to all the tracks, really. And somehow mixed that in, and it, you know, with instruments and with everything in there. And overlaid what we could, you know, I don't think the redundas quite worked out, but the other instruments did. And then I had a trip to Florida, South Florida. He says, you know, I know somebody in Alachua that plays the flute. I'm like, well, I'm going to South Florida. That's a little bit away. He says, you know, let's see if we can get some flute in there. And so I'm like, okay. So I flew to Gainesville and stayed a day in Alachua and recorded flute. And that part didn't work so well, but that was more Western flute, Eastern flute. We kind of worked it in together, but it didn't work out. So after this month of what started with just what I thought was really just a scratch recording that we really couldn't do anything with, we ended up with this beautiful CD, like all of the produced CDs that he has. And I had an amazing experience working with him, you know, even when there were disagreements. He said, oh, think about it. Don't worry about it. Krishna will come up with something. And I have, you know, by the time he came back, I'd say, okay, let's try it this way. Let's try and do that. And we must have listened to that CD hundreds of times throughout the month. Gopi can attest to, you know, it'd always be playing. We'd always be editing it. She'd come home. And it's like, you know, the boys would come home. And they're like, yeah, we need you, you know, this and that. And, you know, it's almost done. And we finally finished it, and it did get released. And it's in the Bengali. You know, he's got a whole series with Ajimal. It's like super sweet and even sweeter, and some other ones I forget. And we're in that. We did one of those ones in that collection. I think Gopi might want to say something about while he was visiting us. It was just wonderful personal time with him. I didn't get to experience the pizza stories. I think by then he was eating a little bit more, healthier. Well, of course, I have to mention this. So this was, you know, I've been going through on and off treatment for cancer for a long time, and we'd always discussed it. And it was kind of a very strange situation for me to be in when I found out that he had cancer. Because up to that point, it had always been, you know, me with the one with the disease and him with the one giving me instruction. And now, not so much instruction as in that our roles were reversed, but now it was like a little bit of a different relationship where, you know, he was asking me for my experience and my advice as it pertained to him rather than kind of the other way around. And so that was, it was difficult when I heard, of course, but it was something that we could, you know, that I could at least in my little way help him out as I did also with the CD.
Hare Krishna. So the first time we met Gunagari Maharaj was when we were living in Potomac, when my father was serving there as temple president. At he used to do kirtan with the shelter band, and then he used to take all the devotees, or as many who wanted to join him, to the mall area right in front of the monument and play on the drums. My sister and I were about 13 and 14 years old at that time. And it was a big, because he played kirtan with Western instruments, and so back in the day it was a little controversial, and I remember some of the devotees discussing it at one of the meetings. But he seemed to be, I remember I was very young, but I remember seeing that he seemed to be really transcendental to the controversy. And it was like, no matter what, he enjoyed playing drums, and he spread Krishna's holy names with those drums. And, you know, he took whatever, it was a nice lesson that he took whatever resources and his own personality and nature and used it to perfect not only himself, but the world and everyone around. And so that was a beautiful lesson to learn. And when he was here in Dallas, I really didn't serve him properly. He came to our house every single day for, I think it was way longer than a month. He was coming at like 4 or 5 days during the week, and life is just so packed at the school that I would come home and see that, oh, he's here, and I haven't cleaned the place properly. I don't have proper prasadam for him, because growing up we knew that when a sannyasi comes, you're to serve them. And sometimes during the weekend he would show up and we would be in our casual clothes, and I would feel very like uncomfortable and bad that I'm not here serving him properly. But every time I would go upstairs, run upstairs and say, oh, Maharaj, you're here, and I'm so sorry, I don't have dinner for you. And he'd be like, no, I wasn't planning on staying. And he was so relaxed and so grateful. And he said, the service you're doing by giving me your husband is way more service than anyone else can do. And he always said, like, don't mind. Like, don't think of me as a stranger. Just think of me. That was one sentence he said once. Don't think of me as a stranger. Just think of me as your family member. And don't take me as an outsider. He's just really, really kind, very loving. And the last thing was that he really took a lot of attention for the kids. Like, he was just really real with them, just talking to them like an uncle. So watching his passing on Facebook, it was really intense, because I know, well, from what I saw, I don't know him so well, but from what I saw, he didn't seem to be a very public, egregious, extroverted personality. He seemed to be more introverted and even shy at times. And to see that his passing became such a public scene for the devotees, with cameras there and, you know, people with their iPhones recording it. It was like he gave up his own, I guess, and I can't speak to it because he's, you know, a great personality, so I can't. But what I saw from it was that he was ready to sacrifice even his own privacy for teaching us and for spreading Krishna's holy name. And that, for me, was a really big lesson. And so I offer my humble obeisances to him, and I'm very grateful for the association that he gave to our family while he was here. And I hope one day, through our services, we can please him and please Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. One small act of His Holiness Gunagrai Maharaj has really touched me. And as you can see, it's stayed with me for many years. But in towards the end of 1999, I had cardiac bypass surgery in Santa Barbara, and he just left like a really sweet message. And I guess because I hadn't had that much association with him, it really made a deep impression on me that he did that. I think I'll read a little something I sent for his memorial program in Vrindavan, and that will will I give an outline of my dear Gunagrahi Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, to your lifelong service to him, and to your divine departure to his lotus feet. When you were leaving Dallas to go to India in the face of your cancer, you gave me the opportunity to see you off. When you were traveling in India and dealing with so many issues and developments, you gave me the opportunity to communicate with you regularly. When you returned to Vrindavan to stay, you allowed me to accommodate you and your staff in my house in Ramanreti, where you instituted your wonderful nightly kirtans. And when you were ready to leave your body, you gave me the opportunity to serve you indirectly when you moved to the Bhaktivedanta Hospice, which I helped establish. Now you have gone to Srila Prabhupada to serve him and his lords, and I pray that you will give me the opportunity to serve you there too. Maharaj, I love you. Hare Krishna. With appreciation, gratitude, and love, your eternal aspiring servant, Girirad Swami. Then one of my disciples wrote a very nice appreciation of Gunagrai Maharaj, which I would like to share with you. And in it he quotes Maharaj's Vyas Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada, not the one that Chakri Prabhu read, but the one from the year before, which is really very instructive and touching. So this is from Raghava Pandit Das, a disciple in South Africa. Dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. A few days ago, I saw a clip of you and others bidding farewell to Gunagrai Maharaj. He was on his way to Vrindavan. I never met Maharaj, but I've always found his talks deep and profound. About a year ago, I read a blog post of his, which was so inspiring that the words came alive for me in a very mystical way. Here is the posting. The title is Happiness and Stained Glass. Srila Prabhupada says, if one is situated in real Krishna consciousness, he can face the most severe type of adversity and remain completely undisturbed. Journey to self-discovery. It is easy for us to smile when things are going our way, but spiritual advancement allows us to be happy at all other times as well. Here is a nice quote in this connection. Quote, people are like stained glass windows. They sparkle and shine when the sun is out. But when darkness sets in, their true beauty is revealed only if there is light from within. I'll read it again. People are like stained glass windows. They sparkle and shine when the sun is out. But when darkness sets in, their true beauty is revealed only if there is light within. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And that was the end of that blog post. Then last year I found his Vyas Puja offering very inspiring. It's inexplicable why the words of some devotees touched me more than others. I read only a handful of offerings last year, and Maharaja's was one of them. Dear most Srila Prabhupada, when I was a little boy, I knew nothing about the soul. All I thought was that when you die, you don't exist anymore. This frightened me. Some nights I would lie awake crying after my mother had tucked me in. I would call out for her, and she would run up the stairs, hold me in her arms, and ask me what was wrong. I don't want to die, I repeatedly sobbed. She would rock me back and forth, patting me on the head, saying, everything will be all right. Don't worry. Everything will be all right. I would finally lie back down, emotionally spent, and go to sleep. But that anxiety in the depths of my heart still remained. As I grew older, I became so absorbed in sense gratification that I stopped thinking about death. Nor was the subject ever dealt with in high school or college. When we all started experimenting with mind-altering drugs at the university, we would stay awake at night speculating about what was reality. And again, the subject of death came up. But this time, I somehow got the idea that we were all eternal, and that, hey, maybe we were even God himself, or itself. The idea of becoming God sounded pretty darn good. Somehow, though, it never seemed to work in my practical life. Quite the contrary, my suffering and confusion only mounted. Then that day of days finally came. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. You lit up my life with the magic of the holy name. I had never seen or felt anything like it. Nevertheless, it was still so hard to let go of my desire to enjoy. Maya had to beat me to the ground to get me to finally crawl helplessly through the doors of your temple. Home at last. And finally I came to understand the real meaning of death, of the self, and of God. After many lifetimes, that deep-rooted fear of non-existence had come to an end. Nowadays, death once again is very much in the forefront of my mind. My health is declining, and the doctors say the disease is terminal. But even if it is, the purification it has put me through has been saving my life, my real life, more than any bodily cure I could ever have found. For along with my illness, you have come to purify me, forcing me to learn very hard and painful lessons that I had always so stubbornly avoided. You are also so mercifully flooding me with the most wonderful support of your loving devotees. On account of the above, being faced with death has thus become one of the best things that has ever happened to me, rather than the unthinkable misery I did not know how to confront when I was young. I am reminded of how the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam so graphically explains that it is becoming the general rule in Kali Yuga that relatives and friends of so-called loved ones who are dying are often able to think only of how they themselves will benefit from their dear one's demise. They have neither the knowledge nor the desire to comfort and uplift their lifelong companions when they are about to leave this world. Thus, multitudes are dying in loneliness, bewilderment, and despair. There is no doubt that I had remained, there is no doubt that had I remained embedded in the culture I was brought up in, I would now be suffering the same fate. I would have had the same fears as always, not knowing where to turn for the answers and not feeling the genuine affection I would have so desperately needed. But you intervened and picked up this lost, sobbing spiritual child and held him in your arms. And you have been rocking him back and forth ever since. You have instilled within me that tranquility and faith I had always been looking for. I am at last convinced that yes, just as my mother always said, everything will be all right. Your most grateful servant, Gunagrahi Das Goswami. Then Raghava Pandit concludes, sometimes it is said that the truth sits on the lips of a dying man. I felt that Lord Krishna had imbued his personality, Gunagrahi Maharaj's personality, with a special sweetness. And I feel fortunate that his words could inspire me further in Krishna consciousness. Your servant, Raghava Pandit Das. So, I mean, throughout all of Maharaj's time in India, I was in regular communication with him. often on Skype, or at least on WhatsApp. And but just I think a little before he became very weak at the end, in Houston we made a like a Skype call to him. It was Indradumya Swami, Bibi Govinda Swami, Badahari Das was there, Kosha Rupa Mataji was there, and I was there. And so Indradumya Swami was, you know, recalling different incidents, different experiences they had, including that one in Sarajevo when they were attacked. And Bibi Govinda Maharaj, he really wanted to be there at the end for Gunagrahi Maharaj. So he told him, you know, Maharaj, you better wait for me to get there. Because if you don't wait for me, I'm going to kill you. And then, and I was thinking, you know, what am I going to say? But when Gunagrahi Maharaj, when it was my turn, he was just exuding or overflowing with that affection that so many devotees have mentioned. He just kept talking about me. I didn't have to say anything. And he said, "You're soft like a powder puff." And I don't even remember what he said, but in a way, it was just so touching, and it was like such a memorable exchange. And then, as it was, you know, right after the Kirtan Fest in Houston, Govinda Maharaj flew to Vrindavan and was there. And yeah, we could all see those kirtans at the end. Even how he was placed in samadhi. And it was like really, really exemplary. And you could see at the end, like even though he was just, you know, skin and bones, and in a way he was supposed to be unconscious, but you could see at the very end he was actually chanting. You could see his mouth moving, he was actually chanting. And yeah, he, kirtan, it was just, it was his life and soul from the beginning. You know, he was inspired by kirtan, and he was always inspired by kirtan. He inspired others with kirtan, and then he left in the midst of wonderful kirtan. And during that last period, I think Bhakti Bringa Govinda Maharaj led kirtan for like 8 or 10 hours. It was just phenomenal. And he was really shouting in Gunagrahi Maharaj's ear. And Ratatvaja Swami was there, and he was like so touched that, of course, Govinda Maharaj felt especially indebted to Gunagrahi Maharaj because Gunagrahi Maharaj made him a devotee. So that was very strong in his consciousness. But it was just really like shouting in Maharaj's ear. He just didn't want to take any chance that anything else could enter Maharaj's mind but the holy name, Krishna Radha and Krishna Radha, Radha Shamsundar. And yeah, Ratatvaja Swami was there holding his hand, Radhana Swami. There's so many exalted souls there. Burijan Prabhu had gone especially to be with Maharaj, and Ritadvita Swami also had gone especially to be with Maharaj, and they were with him and supporting him, you know, to the end and after the end. So his example, I mean, I'm just, in a way, it's like they say about an iceberg, you're just like touching the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more under the surface of the water that we haven't touched in this talk. But, he's a real kirtan man. He's a real Prabhupada man. He was a real preacher. One thing I think of was in Houston. There's a very sweet devotee named Kamala Manjari, and she had two children, a daughter named Mohini, who was initiated by me as Madhuri Radha, and a son who was called Jigar. And he was initiated by Gunagrai Maharaj as Vrindavan Bihari Das. But their father, you know, Kamala Manjari's husband, he was a very peculiar, volatile, angry, temperamental person. He never went to the temple. But when Gunagrai Maharaj was in Houston, he would make a point of spending time with that man. And that also really touched me, you know, because the man, I mean, I met him a couple of times, you know, but he wasn't an easy person to deal with. But Gunagrai Maharaj, so compassionate and so kind that he would make a point of spending time with him. Which actually reminds me of something that His Holiness Dhanadhar Swami wrote about Gunagrai Maharaj, which I think I'll read because it deals with aspects of Maharaj that probably a lot of us have only maybe some indirect or peripheral experience of. It was very much a part, although it did come up a little bit in the talks, but I think I'll just read that and conclude with that. Many of you reading this have been inspired and blessed with the association of Raghunath and Kostuba. Raghunath, I think probably a lot of you know who Raghunath is. He's initiated by Dhanadhar Swami, and Kostuba was initiated by Tamal Krishna Goswami. If you have, then you have some debt to the person being honored here. That will become apparent. In a sense, Maharaj was one of the last of the real old-time Sankirtan generals, those who set lofty goals in the mission of Srila Prabhupada and moved heaven and earth to achieve them. 13 years ago, Maharaj invited me to Argentina to preach. I gave classes twice a day in the ISKCON temple, a very humble place that had been their residence for over 20 years. Maharaj had only been there a short while, but within a few years he marshaled, pushed, and led the forces of the Yatra to acquire and renovate 2 attached petite hotels in the center of Buenos Iris, in order to create arguably one of the most successful temples in South America. Shortly thereafter, a struggling yatra was flourishing. When Raghunath became inspired to join the Hare Krishna movement, which in those days meant living in an ashram, he moved to the ISKCON Gita Nagari farm in Pennsylvania. Gunagrai Maharaj happened to be visiting there at the time. Maharaj thought, why should one with so much potential to communicate Krishna consciousness be stuck on the farm? So he brought Raghunath to Washington, D.C., where Maharaj's Krishna Fest program daily performed dynamic kirtan on the mall in front of the Smithsonian. A few months later, I got a call from him. Maharaj, I had Raghunath start a straight edge band again to spread Krishna consciousness through his music. It's called Shelter. We soon will tour all over the USA. I can't do this alone. Please come with me. Just as a little note to show you how popular Shelter and Raghunath were. I was visiting my sister's home in Santa Barbara, and she had a son who was, I don't know, maybe 13 years old at the time, and he had a couple of his friends over. And somehow they ended up talking about Raghunath and his band. And I said, oh, Raghunath, I know Raghunath. You know Raghunath? Wow, you know Raghunath. So Gunagrai Maharaj phoned Anandar Swami. Maharaj, I had Raghunath start a straight-edge band again to spread Krishna consciousness through his music. It's called Shelter. We soon will tour all over the USA. I can't do this alone. Please come with me. That was another striking thing about Maharaj, like he would engage people so freely. He had such big plans, and to execute them, you know, he needed help. And in the course of that, he engaged so many people. It brought them into, like, really exciting service. Soon we were traveling all over the USA with Shelter as the headliner band and three other minor straight-edge bands arranged by Raghunath, including Inside Out, which was led by the then unknown Zach de la Rocha, who would later become the leader of the seminal band Rage Against the Machine. From Shelter, literally hundreds and hundreds of young people started to fill the pretty much barren ISKCON temples in North America. Shortly after that, Shelter expanded the scope of its program to bring the disaffected youth throughout the world to the path of bhakti. Through Raghunath's effort, which was the brainchild and inspiration of Gunagrai Maharaj, the mission of Srila Prabhupada, which suffered so much after his passing away, was revitalized in America and much of the world. It's a service that is not acknowledged nearly to the degree that it should. There are preachers, in quotation marks, and then there are preachers, in italics, those whose very life breath is dedicated to giving people the jewel of devotion. Maharaj left no stone unturned to personally and without judgment reach out to anyone he thought he could inspire to serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada. It's a rare quality. Dotting the globe, especially in the Americas, are countless devotees who came to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada only by the compassion, insight, and personal effort of Gunagrahi Maharaj to make them Krishna conscious. One of those numerous jewels is Kostubha Prabhu, the senior educator at the Bhakti Center. Maharaj visited him in his apartment on Havemeyer Street in South Williamsburg, arguably the most decrepit and dangerous neighborhood in New York City at the time, where he inspired that young man, Dave, now Kostubha, to travel with him and soon commit himself to Srila Prabhupada's mission. 2 days before Gunagrahi Maharaj left this world in Vrindavan, surrounded by devotees chanting the holy name, including his loving God brothers, I got a call from Kostubha asking me if I could find a way to send a letter to Gunagrahi Maharaj expressing his gratitude. I immediately dictated his letter through WhatsApp to a friend helping to care for Maharaj, who played it for him. The following day, I got a message from Gunagrahi Maharaj. With all the strength he could muster, in the most heartfelt voice, a short message for Kostubha came. Love and gratitude to you in my heart. Love in my heart. So much love in my heart. So much. Burijan Prabhu, who taped the message, described that as Gunagrahi Maharaj was losing strength and was practically incapable of uttering a single word more, Maharaj uttered almost inaudibly, so much gratitude, while placing his hand on his heart, indicating his love. Each word had almost a raspy, whistling quality that seemed to slightly peak and get higher at the end of each phrase as the air needed to produce the words continued just a short while after finishing the phrase he wanted to produce. True gratitude is the budding of our real self. In my mind, the depth and humility in which Maharaj spoke was coming straight from his eternal identity with Krishna. It was the humble and loving voice of a resident of Vrindavan. When I heard the tape, I somewhat broke up. I remember the deep humility, gratitude, and affection Maharaj had for Srila Prabhupada, those who followed his footpath, and for almost anyone with a spark of devotion. Mainly, I reflected on his affection for me. Maharaj's passing was perhaps the most glorious departure of a devotee in ISKCON since the passing of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj. It made me reflect on the qualities he demonstrated that attracted such extraordinary mercy. I'll read it again. It made me reflect on the qualities he demonstrated that attracted such extraordinary mercy to have that glorious departure. Gunagrahi Maharaj was exceptionally humble. Although he was quite senior to me, he always treated me as his superior. Although out of humility, he also never hesitated to correct me. If anything I did wasn't a reflection in his mind of the highest ideals of presenting Krishna consciousness to others. For example, my sometimes raggedy Vrindavan dress rightly disturbed him, and he would tell me so. Like everyone, he also made mistakes, but there was nothing in the very depth of his heart but the mission of Srila Prabhupada. And he bowed down to the feet of anyone with even a spark of desire to assist in that mission. Gunagrai Maharaj was endlessly attracted to the holy name and deeply loved by his godbrothers, friends, and disciples. It seems at times more than anything else he was the friend of the poor. He just had this special type of affection for the downtrodden and motley, those who seemed to be surviving in Krishna consciousness only by his compassion and inspiration. When I visited San Diego, I heard that about him, that like he was always surrounded by sort of low lives, and he was just sustaining them and maintaining them and uplifting them in Krishna consciousness. Now, there's a footnote here. An astrologer once told Gunagrai Maharaj that throughout his life he would be surrounded by low-class people. He understood this to be the many people he extended himself to who otherwise, it seemed, could never make the standards required for spiritual life. He loved them and called them his homeboys. Sometime before he left, I also received a message from him. It began with the heartfelt and somewhat unusual phrase, "Love you, honey." He spoke about what I meant to him. He said that Srila Prabhupada was the center and acknowledged that I may not be able to come immediately because of my service, although obviously he wanted that. I had some previous commitments to two festivals that I had already organized, where people had already even booked tickets to fly in and participate. I had moved up my ticket to fly to India when those commitments were to be finished, but as soon as I got the message that he was now beginning to leave, I booked my flight to leave the next morning to India from Colombia to be with him. Unfortunately, he left just a few hours after I booked my ticket. I pray he will forgive me for not being there at his side. I bow my head to the lotus feet of the illustrious Vaishnavas, such as Burijan Prabhu, Ritutvaja Swami, Govinda Maharaj, and Radhanath Swami, who dropped everything to be at his side. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and the pure devotees he brought on the path of devotion and then took from this world to directly serve him. All glories to Srila Gunagrahi Goswami. Gunagrahi Maharaj Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.